Very good. Father, we're grateful for this day. As we were praying around in this space, just grateful that we heard you say that you are going to bring a blessing of warmth through your joy today. And so, God, we're grateful for that, and we're expecting that. And we're grateful for this one here, our friend, one whom you have called to speak to your children. God, we pray that you would speak to her as powerfully as she will deliver your word to us, and even then some. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning, friends. Good morning. A couple staff meetings ago, Bill and Heather and I were just reflecting on how much we love you. Seriously, just it's a huge blessing to be here, and we're really honored to get to be in community and walk in life with you all, because you are, you know, shining the light of Jesus in our community and in this place and in our own lives. And so we just count it a privilege. So I just want to say thanks. Thanks for being who you are. So we've been in a series called Repurpose, because we want to repurpose the way that we're celebrating Christmas this year. And I'm sure it's something that you always try to do. You want to be intentional about how you're celebrating Jesus the King. But there are a lot of things that are seeking to distract us, to steal our joy. Brad was mentioning some of those things. And so we just want to help refocus and recenter and repurpose how we're spending this time. And last week, Jody was sharing with us about worshiping more fully. And she talked about Mary and Elizabeth and Zechariah and the way that they welcome the King. And we had a beautiful time of stations set up around where we were able to worship together. And the children really did lead us in the way that they worshiped, with the flags and painting and sharing testimonies with one another. And it was really a joy and a delight to do that together as a community. And this week, we're going to talk about repurposing the way that we give. And before I jump into that, I want to show you a fun little video.
I'm alive! I'm alive!
Yeah?
Yeah! Oh, yeah! Hey, Christine! You're here too! Mm. I love you!
I know!
Dad, what's happening?
Honey, the power works! It's coming, it goes on and off! Whatever we want! We've got clean water!
Oh, that's great! Look at that!
Ooh. I bet I know what this does!
Rain down the glorious water!
Shoes. Oh, what do we got here, guys? Food!
I love food. What? A big food? Ooh, you not have work? This is awesome! Look, listen here.
Dee, the what?
Jack, be careful!
Ooh, I have a car! Did you guys see this?
Yeah, you have a car!
A car!
And don't forget your coffee.
You're the best.
I love it. So what that video just did for us is it repurposed the way we think about what we have. And in a season when everything is telling us that we need to acquire more, we need to achieve more, it's really refreshing to ground ourselves in the reality of what we have already been given and what we already have. And so my first big point today, I have three simple points for us today, is in order to repurpose how we give, we start with gratitude. And I had a huge lesson in gratitude when I took a group of 15 high school students to Jamaica on a mission trip. And we had the opportunity to go and serve in what they called an infirmary. And basically, it was a place where the people that had been outcast by society were there. People who had sickness, people with disabilities, and it was very shortly staffed. And when you walked in, it was one of the places where you know, there were a lot of smells and sights that were hard to take in. And in some ways, if you're honest, you wanted to walk back out. But as we entered in and began to interact with the people there, we found Jesus. And we found people who were desperate just to be touched. And that's something, as a mother of three, I don't really think about too much, the gift of touch, of human touch. And these are people that they rarely were touched. And so for us to even just put our hands on them and touch them was really significant. But what I was not expecting when we were there is an encounter that I had with one man, and his name was Godfrey. And Godfrey began to tell me his story. And he looked, when I walked up, he looked probably in his 60s. He was grayed, very small, frail, weak. And he told me he was in his 40s. And that he had been in a car accident, I think around 20 years earlier, that had paralyzed him, and he was also blind. And what was so remarkable about Godfrey is that he just radiated the presence and love of Jesus. And all he could talk about was how much God loved us, how much God loved him. And he had all of 1 Corinthians 13 memorized, and he would recite it to us, and he'd ask us if we would read scripture to him. And I was just so humbled and inspired by this man whose life consisted of laying on a very thin mattress in the middle of a concrete room all day and all night. And all he could do was just gush about how loving and how good and gracious our God is. And I'll never be the same after that encounter. It has stuck with me. And our kids actually were very impacted as well, and the youth chose to give up half of their day of like fun vacation-y stuff to go back, because they wanted to be with the people again. And so we experience this kingdom reality that Paul talks about, that it's better to give than to receive. And there's something that happens where you feel like you're going to serve, and yet you end up being served. Like, you end up receiving. Godfrey gave me more than I could have ever given to him. I mean, I'm sure he doesn't remember me at all, but I will never forget him and that encounter I had with him. And so as we think about repurposing our giving, I want us to focus on gratitude, what we have, the generosity of our good and gracious Father. And the second thing that I want us to think about is our intentionality. We've been tracking with some of the themes of an organization called Advent Conspiracy, and they've been encouraging people to actually think about the way they give monetarily as well, that we would spend less in order that we give more. And it's just so hard not to get caught up in consumerism this time of year, and I think as I've been thinking about the sermon and preparing, I've been noticing more of my own tendencies, even of all the emails that are coming in and telling me that there's like the best sale ever and I need to buy all the things. And I just like take the clickbait, you know, and I go for it. And then I'm like, no, Shauna, no, stop. You don't need this. They don't need that. But Americans spend about $1,000 on average per household on Christmas, which equals like $1 trillion that we spend in this season. It's a season of excess, right? And so we want our excess to come out of a place of gratitude, of contentment, out of compassion. And I have been really encouraged by a couple people in our congregation. I just wanted to mention them. Last year, Caitlin Dolezal, and this year, Hannah Strickland have been participating in something called Dress-cember. And what they've done is they dressed, wore a dress every day in December to raise awareness for human trafficking and also to raise funds for victims of human trafficking. And Hannah has been posting every day on Facebook just a different fact about human trafficking, what we should be aware of, and even some ways that she is intentionally thinking about her habits, how she spends, that when we purchase products, it matters how, not just what we spend, how much we spend, but how we spend it and where we spend it, because there are many, many of our products that come from slave labor. And so that can be such an overwhelming thing to think about and enter into, but it's something I've had to do in my own life too. I used to actually work for an anti-trafficking nonprofit in Detroit, and I had to begin to ask, does it matter, like, what and how I consume, and is it impacting people around the globe? And so I had to start researching, buying secondhand, doing those kind of things. And I would get overwhelmed. And one thing that I was reminded of is just that the people who are oppressed, the people who are in poverty, the people that are experiencing trafficking, they don't have the luxury of looking away. They don't have the luxury of saying, it's too much. And so for that, for me, that was compelling. Not that I would be shamed and in a place of guilt, but that I would be compelled that what I do, how I purchase, how I spend my money matters. And so we want to be intentional in the way that we spend this Christmas. And I thank you, Hannah, for being an inspiration. And this really looks different for everyone, and it can be a fun thing. Last year, I just want to say that these mics are not made for women, and they're really awkward, so I apologize for adjusting the microphone here. So last year, my family, in light of just not wanting to spend as much and not wanting to consume products that were made by slave labor or just that someone was gonna just get and then throw away, we decided to do something new. So we went to DC to my aunt and uncles. There were 15 of us. We drew names and we all piled in our vehicles and we went to this like super thrift store. There were actually two right next to each other. And we all shopped for each other at the same time, careful to make sure the person we were shopping for didn't see. And we bought gifts at the thrift store, brought it back home, wrapped them, and we had the absolute best time. And we actually scored some really cool things. My aunt got this beautiful Banana Republic coat. Nolan got this Millennium Falcon, like, carrying case that was selling for over $100 on eBay that my cousin got for $3 at the thrift store. And I got a puzzle. I actually really love a good puzzle. And it wasn't any puzzle. It was, like, the exact kind that I really love. And all the pieces were there, and it was amazing. So I just share that as an example of how we can get creative about what we do, and it can be something you can do as a family. And so just giving you a little food for thought about creative ways that we can spend less in order to give more. And so my very last point about repurposing the way we give is through generosity. And the reason why we actually want to spend less is so that we can be generous. And I do want to say this doesn't always have to do with money. There are so many ways that we can give of our time, our service, our presence. You all do this so well. And I also want to say this is an extremely generous congregation. And you all are so intentional about how you use your money. And this, you know, as a body, we're committed to financial stewardship and learning how to use our money well and so that we can impact the kingdom of God. You all do this. I've seen you do it. I've been a recipient of your generosity. And so this is about just a reframe or a repurpose. There may be a specific way that God wants to speak to you today. Hey, would you look at this? What do you think about this? This isn't about a shame trip or a guilt trip. It's just, hey, let's try and repurpose a little bit. Is there a way that the Lord is inviting you to adjust? Because when we do this, there is actually a product of joy. And that's what we found when we went in to that infirmary. We went in with trepidation, not sure, maybe wanting to leave when we immediately got there, but what we actually found was joy. And so when we choose to enter into this, there's joy that we receive. And I just want to tell one last story before we go, and it's about a man who is extremely generous. And he was actually born at the end of the 3rd century, and he was born in a wealthy family, a Christian family, and unfortunately, he lost his parents at a young age before he reached adulthood, but he was so compelled by the generosity of Jesus, who came so vulnerably and who came to set the oppressed free, came for the poor, came for the brokenhearted, and so he wanted to give his life and his inheritance on behalf of those that were poor and who were oppressed. And there's a lot of really cool stories and even legends about this man, and one of my favorites is about a family that he impacted. There was a single father with 3 daughters who had fallen into poverty, and he did not have dowries for these daughters, and so he was going to have to sell them into slavery. And so the story goes that one at a time, as these daughters came to age, a bag of gold would show up so that they wouldn't have to be sold into slavery. Does anybody know who I'm talking about? St. Nicholas. Okay. So this is about St. Nicholas, and if you know the rest of the story, it was that the bag of gold, the legend is that the bag of gold actually flew into some stockings that were hanging by the fire. So even those that aren't even celebrating Christ, but are celebrating a man who comes and brings gifts, Santa Claus, they're actually doing it based on the story of a man who was so devoted to Jesus and who spent his time on behalf of the poor and the oppressed and found that's where his joy was. And so today, this is just a simple message to say, as we think about how we're giving, we're repurposing the way that we're giving, let's do it with gratitude, let's do it with intentionality, and let's do it with generosity. So I'm going to light our Advent candle as the worship team comes up. And we remember that Jesus came as Emmanuel, God with us, that he shone light into the darkness and brought hope. And we remember that he's the Prince of Peace, that he wants to reign in our lives and in our world as the Prince of Peace, and that he is our joy, and that when we serve him and when we repurpose our giving and the way that we celebrate to serve him, it brings joy. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for your incredible generosity to us, that you gave yourself. That you are willing to go to the farthest lengths for us to be restored. And we are so grateful. And I pray that you would help us just to be so mindful of all that we've been given.